eat anything sold in the meat market without raising questions of conscience, for the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. If some unbeliever invites you to a meal and you want to go, eat whatever is put before you without raising questions of conscience. But if anyone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then do not eat it, both for the sake of the man who told you and for conscience' sake. The other man's conscience, I mean, not yours. For why should my freedom be judged by another man's conscience, another's conscience? If I take part in the meal with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of something I thank God for? So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God, even as I try to please everybody in every way. For I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. The Lord bless the reading of his word.
Good morning, Cornerstone. I'm not as young as I used to be. I'm 42 years old, and why is that funny? I'm not as flexible as I used to be when I was in my 20s. I'm not as in good shape as I was, and I used to be able to play, like, when I was in my 20s, at least 2, maybe 3 hours of basketball, full-court basketball, before I was worn out. But now I'm pretty lucky if I can get out there and play maybe 20 minutes of full-court basketball before I'm just out of energy, maybe even less. You can ask some of the guys here when Bobby's seen me play, and Josh and Nathan and Caleb, maybe some of the other guys here. But if they remember, I play like all out for like 10, 15 minutes, and then I'm on the sideline. I'm sitting there trying to recoup my breath or gain energy back. And besides, I'm at risk of straining my muscles now or pulling something important. And then afterwards, a day or two after, I'm just really sore. And so that's the way it is for me. But if I stretch before I play, which often I forget to do, but if I do that and I stretch after I play, then I feel a little better. I'm not so the aches are not as bad, and I'm able to seem to operate a little better on the court. Stretching is very good for us, and this is going to be the analogy we use today. Just go ahead and throw up that slide. Here, you might have seen a stretch like this before somebody's workout, and you may have heard just this past summer of Dara Torres, I think is how you say her name. Have you seen? You recognize her? She was the swimmer on the U.S. Olympic team. She is the oldest swimmer ever to be on the U.S. Olympic team. She's 41 years old. She's a mother of a 2-year-old. She gave birth while she was in training for the Olympic team. And stretching is really important for her. And as you see here, she won 3 silver medals in the Olympics this past summer. One, she missed the gold medal, I think, by just a fraction of a hundredth of a second. Amazing woman. But stretching is such an important part as she talks about her workout. She has to stretch before, I think even maybe during and after her workouts, because of her aging muscles especially, she needs to keep them flexible so that they work well. And they obviously did work well. Well, here's some reasons why every one of us should stretch regularly. Even if you don't feel like you're not athletic at all, it's important to stretch, believe it or not. Let me just go through a couple of reasons. One is it decreases muscle stiffness. And increases range of motion. So, like your arm, you know, probably has the most range of motion in our body. You can increase the range of motion if you stretch your shoulder muscles. There's, you know, the different kinds of stretches. I don't know if you grew up in a school where they did calisthenics. You know, touch your toe. You know, we'll get into that in a little minute. May reduce the risk of injury. So especially as we get older, we realize stretching helps reduce the risk of injury, helps relieve post-exercise aches and pains. I mentioned that earlier. Improves posture. If, if you, like me, I look at myself sometimes and I tend to slouch, you know, so I, you know, after a while I end up like this. But, you know, if you want your posture, actually, if you stretch out the lower back and your chest, it says, and your shoulders, it just tends to help your posture without thinking about it, you know, you just have better posture. My mother always got on my case, but it never worked, I guess. Improves mechanical efficiency and overall functional performance. Sense if you stretch and your joints become more flexible, like your shoulders or your hips or your legs, then there's less muscle resistance to when you're using them. And so therefore, you're using less energy when you're doing whatever exercise you're doing, and you have better performance and operation while you're doing it. So stretching really, it helps like almost grease the gears of your body. So whether you're playing basketball or lifting weights or whatever you're doing, walking or just going about your normal day, it really can help our operation as a human being. So I wanted to get into this a little bit to use this analogy of stretching and the importance of stretching regularly to apply it to our Christian life. As being a follower of Christ, how does this analogy apply? Well, a physical stretch is very similar to making a social stretch or a relational stretch to connecting with someone that is different than us and could be different culturally or socially or in a different economic situation or a different environment. That is how we're going to use this analogy. So when we're with people who are unlike us, we need to make a stretch to connect with them. This is very similar, you might be thinking, to other messages I've said, like reach out and touch someone or the stranger in our midst. And this we're going to be looking at from a different aspect of how do we deal with some discomfort when we need to stretch to connect with someone. And that's what stretching is all about, right? Is when we get to a point of needing to stretch. So like if I'm going to stretch, you're going to probably laugh, but I'm going to try to touch my toes. Okay, I'll go to the side so you can see how pathetic it is. This is. I'm going to bend down, and I'm going to try to touch my toes. Okay, now, this is about as far as I can go before I feel some tension in my lower back and the backs of my legs. Isn't that pretty pathetic? So if a stretch is not just leaning over till you feel tension, because I'm still comfortable right here, but if I start to push it, yeah, and they're saying, go, go, go. Injure, injure, pop, ow. You know, that's the stretch. You push it a little further, and then a little further, and ow, that's starting to hurt. So why don't we all just stand up right now? I want to see if any of you can touch your toes. Just get up and try to bend over and touch your toes. Is there anybody here that can touch their toes? Yeah? Okay. Alice, why don't you come on up? Bobby, you said you can touch your toes. Who else? Okay, come on up. Angela, right? Yeah. Joe can? Just come on up here and let's see you touch your toes. See how flexible you are. Just go ahead. Whoa. Oh, hold on. That's not touching toes. That's touching the floor. Can anybody put their hands on the floor flat? Oh. Wow. That's great. Thank you so much. Very impressed. Now, just to show how pathetic I am, look. So I need to stretch my back muscles a little more. Maybe that'll help my posture somewhat. Reaching is stretching. And so like if we're going to talk about touching our toes, to reach my toes, I need to stretch, especially for me. If you're going to keep pushing yourself, you can stretch further and you can extend the motion of your muscles. And this is the analogy we're using here, is reaching out to connect with people requires a stretch on our part in many ways. And that's going to create tension points for us. It's going to cause discomfort, which you feel when you stretch physically. You feel a point of discomfort in your muscles. And then you've got to move just a little bit further and through that discomfort. But you've got to be careful there, right? Because you don't want to go too far. Otherwise, you're going to cause damage or pain or destruction of your muscle. So as Christians, how do we stretch? And we stretch by determining first where the point of tension exists. This is my first point I want to emphasize. Listen to the first two verses of our text that Joe read earlier in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 11 or 10, verses 23 and 24. Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. Nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others. And this is the same statement that the Apostle Paul made back in this letter to the church in Corinth in chapter 6, verse 12. So he's emphasizing this again. And this is simply a statement about a Christian's freedom in Christ. Because Christ has set us free, right? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the truth, he said at another point, will set you free. So Christ sets us free in, to be able to live freely, not strapped by legalism or by judgmentalism and things like that. But we can live freely. And this is a statement about that. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. Everything that is morally neutral, we'll say, like what we eat and drink, for example, is permissible. Okay? But not things that obviously go against God's will and his principles written clearly in the Word of God. That is not the issue here, but it's those morally neutral things that are permissible. For example, my neighbor lives right next door to us. Ginny is her name. She's, I think, close to her 80s now. She loves to eat New Jersey corn. But she has this physical condition that if she eats corn, it's going to get like stuck in her or something and cause her great pain in her colon and things like that. So she knows this from experience. So she, even though she loves to eat corn, but she chooses not to. But eating, whether she eats corn or doesn't eat corn, that's not a moral issue, right? It's just she may love to eat corn, but it's definitely not beneficial for her to eat corn if she wants to. And verse 24 makes clear here in our text that this principle of Christian freedom then is to be regulated by love for others. It says, nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others. So there's this, things are permissible, maybe permissible, but they're not beneficial for those around us. So we need to have some discernment as Christians. Okay, this may not be a moral issue, but is it beneficial for those around me, whether they be Jews or Greeks or unbelievers or believers, my family members, my friends, my wife, my spouse, my brothers, my sisters. We need to be aware of those things. Because if we live in ways that are not beneficial for those around us, then where is our love of our Lord God and our love of our fellow human being? Right? Jesus himself said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. And he also said, love your neighbor as yourself. So if we live in ways that are not beneficial for those around us, then where is the love that we have for God and for others? It's not there. If we're only thinking of our own good, like, well, it's okay if I do this. It's not hurting anybody. But actually, it may be if we're not discerning about it. Romans chapter 15, verse 2, Paul, the Apostle Paul writes there as well, each of us should please his neighbor for his good. Again, for his good, to build him up. Him or her up. So our freedom in Christ frees us then to stretch, to make the stretch in new ways to connect with others that we probably normally might feel some discomfort doing. So stretching socially and relationally needs to be a regular discipline in our life. Just like physically, if we want to increase our range of motion, we've got to regularly stretch. So the challenge that is to me, if I want to touch my toes ever, I need to continually work at that without ripping muscles if I kept going like I was being encouraged. that would cause damage, I would think, today. But if I kept doing that regularly, I would have new motion that I didn't have before, a new range of motion. And the same thing applies to us as Christians. So therefore, as we stretch every day for Christ, we will determine where the points of tension are in us, in our minds, in our lives around us. And I wanted to just point out a few points, possible points of tension that we may experience. One of the points of tension that we will experience definitely is in our own minds and how we think when we come across different situations. In our minds, for example, I remember when I was years ago when I was working as an engineer in Lockheed, and I was invited to go to this barbecue party with one of the fellow engineers. So I said, sure, I wanted to get to know this guy. And a bunch of people were going from work, so I went. And I didn't think anything of it. And when I arrived at the party, immediately it was a point of tension in my mind. Because as a I grew up in the church, and I was kind of sheltered about what I was involved in. And now I'm out in the working world. You know, I'm a real adult now. And I go to this party, and there was a lot of drinking. And there was a lot of coarse, and I would call inappropriate joking. And I just felt very uncomfortable in this situation. I was at a point of tension. But on the other hand, everybody was really nice. And I got to know people there much better, and their families and their kids. And they got to know me as well, somewhat better in a different context than just at the office. And after that experience, I felt a little bit more, or I should say a little bit less tension when I would go and be in situations like that, because I had made a little stretch. Now, it's not that I was participating in the great, you know, lots of drinking and you know, getting drunk and joining in the coarse joking and inappropriate and sexual things being said. No, I didn't do that. There's no excuse, and as Christians, we shouldn't participate in doing that ourselves. But to be in the midst of that with people who don't know Christ, then that might be cause us discomfort. But that stretched me, and so now I feel more comfortable in situations like that since then, because I stretched a little bit. My range of motion increased because I went to that. Another point of tension we may experience can come with other Christian brothers and sisters. This is very common in the church. Some Christians, for example, in how they apply the Word of God, follow the Old Testament dietary laws. You know, they're very careful about what they eat and what they don't eat. And some Christians eat anything they want. You know, it doesn't matter. They just dive in. Maybe eat too much. Some believe that drinking alcohol is wrong. Nobody should drink alcohol at all. And some Christians drink responsibly. You know, some Christians obey or follow the Sabbath principle by keeping one day, specifically a day where they do absolutely nothing that day and honor the Lord through their worship. Other Christians make that day full of activity, you know, of doing good things, you know, maybe serving places. And other Christians will spread the Sabbath principle out throughout the week and have like little moments of Sabbath rest and worship to the Lord God. And there's just differences of how they apply the Word of God. But these kind of things can create a lot of tension, potentially between brothers and sisters in Christ, if we are diverse in our approach, and our approaches to how to apply God's Word. So in the freedom of Christ is, then why not, why does it have to be done my way? If you're around brothers and sisters who do it another way, why don't just try doing it their way? It's not a right or wrong issue when you look at the Scriptures per se, though we have to be discerning on very on the issues. We need to go to the Scriptures and find out if it is a moral issue or not. Or is it just a difference of method? And so this does take thought and discernment on our part. Another point of tension may come with people who are not followers of Christ, as mentioned in our text, and we'll get into that. Tension rises when people who don't believe in Christ may ridicule us about our faith or test us with, like, pointed questions, but they're not really interested in the answers, maybe. They're just trying to trip us up like they tried to do with Christ. Or they persecute us in ways. And so this, when this occurs in our life, this is also an opportunity for us to stretch, to try to connect with these people that cause tension in our lives. I mean, think about it. Is there someone at, say, your school or your work, or maybe at your church, right, that really irritates you? Is there someone that really annoys you or irritates you? Don't look at them right now if they're here, right? But that is an opportunity then for us to make a stretch for Christ, to try to connect with them in a way. It doesn't have to always be done our way. We don't always have to participate in the things that we like to do. Maybe it means participating in something that we don't like to do, like maybe it's hiking or going to the botanical gardens with people from work, or things that we think would be absolutely boring, but because we want to stretch and connect with them in some way, to share ourselves and our love for Christ in a natural way, using the bridge of friendship. There's some ways that we may need to stretch at times when reaching out and building. I'm getting ahead of myself. So, let me try touching my toes again. Let's see if I can get a little bit further. See, I think I'm getting a little bit further already. What do you think? Oh, you can't see over there? Am I any closer? Yeah, see? Thank you. Yeah, so if I just keep doing that once in a while, maybe I'll just increase my range of motion. Well, after determining the point of tension, when we actually are stretching physically, we need to push it a little further, right? That's where we increase our range of motion. And it's the same as Christians. We can practice stretching as Christians by, and this is our second point, thoughtfully practicing freedom and restraint through Jesus Christ. And this is what that first couple verses talk about. Now listen to the next couple verses in our text, verses 25 and 26. Eat anything sold in the meat market without raising questions of conscience. For the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. This is practicing freedom in Christ. It's mentioning here that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. We can eat anything we want. The Apostle Paul, and for us, we're kind of wondering, what is this talking about? And the Apostle Paul wrote in this letter to the church in Corinth, and if we can throw that slide up to the church in Corinth, it's right there. And this is Greece, modern-day Greece. This is Turkey. And so Corinth is right on a key. Where'd it go? I lost Corinth. There it is. It's right here. And it's, you can see there's a body of water here and a body of water here. It's a key port city where a lot of commerce would go through. It's right there. See, Corinth. So Paul's writing to this city, and the because it was a key city of trade, there was a lot of idol worship there. And because there was a lot of idol worship there, a lot of animal sacrifices were made to the different gods that the people worshiped. And because there was a lot of animal sacrifices made, there was a lot of meat from these sacrifices that would then be sold in the meat markets. And the meat that was that had been sacrificed to these idols, and the meat that hadn't, and they were both sold together. Well, this was a big issue with Jews and many Christians, that they did not feel comfortable eating meat that had been sacrificed to another god. And so, but you couldn't tell the difference. So unless you asked the person selling the meat, was this meat sacrificed to an idol or a god? And he said yes. And he said, oh, I don't want that one. Was this one? You know, is there anything here that wasn't sacrificed? Oh, okay, I'll take that one. And that's how many Christians would live their lives and practice their faith in that time. Well, knowing that context, listen to these next verses that the Apostle Paul talks mentions in verses 27 through 30. He says, if some unbeliever invites you, and notice it's an unbeliever here, invites you to a meal and you want to go, eat whatever is put before you without raising questions of conscience. But if anyone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then do not eat it, both for the sake of the man who told you and for conscience' sake. The other man's conscience, I mean, not yours. For why should my freedom be judged by another's conscience? If I take part in the meal with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of something I thank God for? See, there are times, Paul's mentioning here, that we can practice our freedom in Christ and make the stretches and increase our range of motion, but we also, there are times we need to practice restraint and withhold maybe acting or participating in things because of the love we have for other people and the sensitivity we have for them around us. The situation described here is in the house of an unbeliever. And the general principle for us to practice is that if something that is somewhat neutral is made an issue of, then it would probably be best for us to practice restraint in that situation. So, for example, if there is brothers and sisters in our midst that have an issue with thinking that drinking alcohol is absolutely wrong, or maybe there's alcoholics in our midst, or whatever sensitive issue concerning alcohol, then it would be best as a Christian, if you're a Christian who doesn't see right or wrong to drink alcohol on occasion, then it'd be best to withhold from doing that, because we have the freedom in Christ not to do that as well. And another example of this is when I used to take mission trips to Reynosa, Mexico, which is right at the southern tip of Texas, just over the border. There's a large city there, Reynosa. And often these groups, we would take groups of youth and some adults, and during the summer months, when the temperature is about at least 100 degrees or more, and the humidity is fairly high. And what we're going to do down there is BBS programs for the community, these communities, and as well as build houses for families that the churches have arranged for before we come down there. And the Mexican Christians often would ask us to wear long pants when we would go to do our work. And this is the request because they could not understand how someone could do God's work and wear shorts, because in their thinking and their culture, that's too revealing. And so, you know, you can think of it as Americans. We're coming down there and it's 105 degrees that day, and we're going to go work out in the sun in jeans or long pants. It's very difficult work. But we have the freedom in Christ because we can wear long pants. It's just a little hotter, right? Or a lot warmer. But we have freedom in Christ. It's not a moral issue. And so because of the sensitivity to our brothers and sisters there, we do. It's not a big thing. And so we did. We wore long pants. And the same applies especially when we desire to build relationships with others, whether they be Christians, but especially non-Christians or unbelievers, people who are seeking the truth, to be sensitive and discerning what is appropriate and what isn't, according to the Scriptures, not sacrificing the biblical principles, of course. Should we practice our freedom, or should we practice our restraint? Here's some ways that we may stretch at times when we're trying to reach out and build relationships with people that, and we try to be sensitive to. For example, what we wear. Often what we wear, we have a certain idea of, like, you know, I wore my tie today. Actually matches the church shirt pretty good, thanks to my wife. And I think in my mind, okay, if I wear this, it's going to communicate something to the people that see me. But oftentimes we could be wrong about that. Like, if I wore shorts in Mexico building a house, it's going to communicate something completely different than I thought it would, unless we're sensitive to that. And so we need to be willing to stretch. Think about, does this communicate modesty, or does it communicate sloppiness? Or how would others maybe see it? Not that we rule our lives by that, but if we're trying to stretch and connect with people, we may need to live a little bit discomfort for ourselves and while we're trying to connect with others. What we say, the choice of our words, we may need to adjust on that. The tone of our voice. if you're in a relationship, that's a big issue. You know, how communication flows together, especially from in opposite sex relationships. How you say something, the tone of your voice, when you say it, and all those things over time need to adjust to each other to be sensitive, but especially to those you're just getting to know. Very important. Do you usually complain about things, or are you encouraging, and does that need to change and adjust? How we act. For example, when we're meeting up with people who smoke, do we always ask them to put it out? You know, I would think that'd be kind of annoying to them. Before I talk to you, put out your cigarette, you know. You know, or can we just, as a Christian, live there and breathe in that secondhand smoke for a little while, you know, in order to just, you know, that's not a big issue if I die a few minutes earlier than I was planning to die or something, you know. It's not, if I just breathe it in, it's okay. God's still God. So how we listen to people? Do we challenge people every time they say a swear word, you know? Or if they say something, we just say, you know, I'm really uncomfortable with you talking like that. You know, it's okay for us to say that at times, but we need to be sensitive to the people and how we're trying to connect with them. Or are we trying to always manipulate the conversation as Christians to bring it around to spiritual matters? You know, quote, how many prongs on that fork? Four? Well, that reminds me of the four spiritual laws. Would you like to hear about them? You know, and you just go right through them, and the guy's sitting there, No, I would not like to hear about tornado. Not at this moment, at least. And do we always try to manipulate, or are we trying to listen to the people we're actually trying to connect with? And that, a lot of times, makes us have to stretch and feel a little discomfort if the conversation moves into an area that maybe isn't quite comfortable for us, and we have to wade it through and try to respond in an appropriate way. What we eat or drink, we talked about that. And just think about it, if you're a missionary or if you've been on short-term missions, have you ever had to stretch a little bit in what you ate? Meaning, try different things that you don't normally eat. And that can cause a lot of discomfort. For example, when I was in Ecuador, the delicacy there was guinea pig. Yeah. And, you know, some of you might have guinea pigs. You know, not raising to be eaten, though, right? But it's just different there. It's just a different culture. And so we need to stretch and be willing to stretch. But this takes thoughtfulness, effort, and discipline on our part to go to the Word of God and say, okay, is this a moral issue? Or what will I communicate if I choose to act or participate in this with them or not? And so we need to be very thoughtful. It takes a lot of effort and discipline, just like it would if we're going to stretch physically. You have to do it all the time to increase your range of motion and improve the way we operate. So what is the benefit then of stretching? Well, the benefit, and this is our last point, stretching allows us to be more flexible. So we're not so inflexible. And we can be more flexible with different kinds of people. We're not just always going to be hanging around and able to connect with just a certain group of people. When a person has a discipline of physically stretching, their flexibility increases. Now, take a look at some of these flexible people. Go ahead. I'm going to step over here. Now, this guy, I don't think he probably worked at that every day. That might be just the natural talent he has, you know, to be able to put his lower jaw up over his nose. Yeah. Go ahead and go to the next slide. This lady, this is quite a stretch. But you would not be able to do that at her age without working at that, you know. She must be pretty flexible. Go ahead, next slide. This guy, that... He probably had to work a lot at that. Notice the dog giving him support. And then the next one is amazing. That is almost disgusting. You know, you look at that. But that kind of flexibility would take a lot of effort and practice and discipline to get to that point. Because, I mean, he's like tying himself up in a knot. I mean, it takes a while to figure out which part is actually what, right? Yeah. This kind of flexibility takes a lot of effort to get to that point. And the same applies to us as well, is that for us to be flexible, to be not so inflexible in who we are able to connect with and the types of groups or people that we can discuss and be around and talk and feel somewhat comfortable with, or at least confident in Christ to talk to, takes just doing it, in a sense. Getting out there, trying to connect, making the mistakes, and just doing it, right? Let's see how far down I can get now. That's a little better, huh? No, not really. But it just takes doing it again and again, and forcing that tension point a little further. Listen to the last verses of our text in 1 Corinthians, beginning in verse 31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God, even as I try to please everybody in every way. And here's a key verse. For I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Christians bring glory to God, our Lord and God, when we make a stretch to reach, to connect with people that are very unlike us. When we do that, it brings even more glory to the Lord God. Because it's like the world, that doesn't happen often in the world. But when Christians model that, just as Christ modeled it to us, you know, he left heaven, he came to earth. God incarnate himself, connecting with a sinful world that had rejected him. He made the ultimate stretch as the Lord God, and he calls us to do the same. Now, what does it mean here to cause anyone to stumble? Well, if you think about it, the image of stumbling, right, is just like the image of your forward motion is inhibited in some way, right? You're not able to go forward as well as you were. It's hindered. And for us to cause someone to stumble means that we may cause someone, or maybe it's an unbeliever, to have trouble in viewing who Jesus is clearly. Because of either our actions or our words, we may cause hardship or hinder them to understand accurately who Christ is, because we wear the name of Christ. We are Christian. But because of something we say or do habitually, causes them to stumble in their seeking after the truth. Or it may be somebody who's a brother and sister in Christ. We may cause them in their pursuit of growing in Christ to stumble by something we do in that same way, so that it hinders their forward motion in their spiritual walk. So if we don't regularly stretch, what happens? We are less flexible. And I find that in myself. The older I get, the more essential it is for me to stretch. And if I don't, I'm just not going to... If I don't stretch, I'm never going to be able to touch my toes. I'm never going to be able to. Unless maybe Nathan could get up here and sit on my back while I'm doing that, you know? And that might help. With a little help from my friends. Though I don't know how I'd feel after that. But if we take the time to intentionally try to think of our lives now and evaluate, where are there some tension points that we have? Where are there some points of tension in our relationships with the people we know or the people we don't know very well at school or work, in our families and our relatives? Where are there maybe some tension points? And then how can we intentionally stretch and go a little further in trying to connect with those people or try to reconcile or relieve some of that tension by going a little further? Because we are commanded to go, remember, to go and make disciples. We're not waiting for people to come to us. We're to get out of our little Christian cultural bubble and go and try to connect and be and experience that discomfort. The Christian bubble and Christian support is very essential for us to gain sustenance and refreshment from one another in Christ. But that's where we go to get refreshed, but then we're supposed to be out trying to reach and connect with those around us in the world. This is the challenge to us. And as we grow and mature in Christ, then our flexibility should become more and more. So we can, maybe we won't be like that last guy, you know, super flexible in a weird way. But we will be flexible enough where we can connect and we can feel comfortable. Whatever situation God puts us in, we'll be prepared for, because of our stretching exercise. So, stretching is how we love people and go where they are in order to bring them to Jesus. So this is making the stretch, the title of the message. So who can you make the stretch to connect with over the next couple weeks? Who can you stretch? How would you need to stretch? Is it in your mind? You need to adjust some things in your mind, or is it in relationship to an unbeliever, or is it with some people and relationships in the church among believers? Think about that. Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you for your word and for how you give us guidance on how to live for you. But Lord, we know that this guidance is meaningless if we don't come and approach your throne and throw ourselves at your feet and say, you know, I am unworthy and I need help. I am unable to live the life you've called me to as your follower without the power of your Spirit pulsating in me, without that sin that I'm aware of being confessed to you and seeking that renewing process that you do in each of us. And so, Lord, we confess our sins now, and we pray that you would give us the discernment and insight from your word on how to stretch and where we need to become more flexible as Christians in our connections with others who don't know you especially, so that we would be the light and the love and the compassion of Christ Jesus, our Lord, in the midst of the people in our lives. And that there would be no question in their minds that you are important to us. So, Lord, give us help, for you have promised this. And help our hearts to be open to new situations and new connections and the stretch to make those things possible. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.